These things have I spoken to you, that you may not be scandalized. In name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Reverend Canon, dear faithful. The expression to be scandalized means here, as in many other passages of the Scriptures, to fail in confidence towards God, to lose hope in Him. Confidence in God is an essential virtue of the Christian life and is infused into our souls in baptism as the supernatural gift of hope together with faith and charity. By this gift of hope, we confide in God and firmly expect that if we fulfill the conditions He requires of us, He will give us His grace and bring us to everlasting happiness according to His promise. Hope in God is asked of us as a homage due to Him and as the safeguard of the Christian life and the assurance of our final salvation. It is founded on faith, on the knowledge of God, of His power, of His goodness, His love, and His promises, which are made known to us by the incarnate Son of God, our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Established on Christian faith, the virtue of hope enables us to stand true to God and to keep our souls in peace despite the trials and seductions of this world. As Christians, we should be distinguished by the divine habit of hope in God, and the exercise of this noble virtue is especially required of us in all urgencies of life, as when doubt and temptation attack us, when trouble and suffering come upon us, when we are about to receive the holy sacraments, and when we are at the point of death. The thought of our sins should not be allowed to make us distrust God, but on the contrary, because if we sincerely abandon sin and its occasions and have recourse to God, we have the strongest grounds for a true and solid hope, because we then fulfill the conditions required by God for mercy and salvation, and this good work is already begun in us by His divine grace. We must therefore rely on God's fatherly providence, which brings all things to good to those who love Him, and on the infinite merits of His incarnate Son who died for us on the cross. Jesus is our God, the eternal Word made flesh for us, infinite power, goodness, and mercy, incarnate for our salvation. St. Jerome asks us to notice that in the human genealogy of our divine Redeemer, not all who are mentioned as His human ancestors were holy people, but many are named who were rebuked by the Scriptures, such as King David, who had Urias killed so he could take his adulterous wife, or Manasseh, who had sawed in half the prophet Isaiah. And this was to teach us that He who came to save sinners willed to descend from sinners, and so to take away the sins of all. In heaven, as in the church on earth, Jesus continues for each one of us the work of our salvation. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the just, who is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but that of the whole world, assures us St. John the Apostle. It is this divine hope that inspires that prayer we learned in our catechism. O my God, relying on thy infinite goodness and promises, I hope to obtain pardon for my sins, grace to serve Thee in life everlasting, through the merits of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Redeemer. However, my dear faithful, beware, because Christian hope in God is endangered by two sinful extremes, despair and presumption. While forgetfulness of God's benefits and lukewarm devotion are the common causes of a lack of lively hope among careless Christians, Positive despair arises most commonly from the deadly vices of spiritual sloth, also known as laziness, and of lust. Our salvation, the supreme and everlasting happiness promised us by God, is a spiritual good which, though difficult to reach, can be most certainly secured by our cooperation with God's grace. But the victim of sloth and lust is precisely opposed to a spiritual good, especially if it requires effort. And confiding only in himself and experiencing his own moral weakness, he assumes that, for him, grace, virtue, and salvation are unattainable, and he therefore gives up the cause of God and of his own soul. This is despair, a most dreadful sin, because by it the sinner distrusts even God. He denies the infinite power and goodness. He questions God's fidelity to his promises and contradicts the efficiency of Christ's all-atoning death. We are a fallen race, and most certainly, without God's grace, we cannot live virtuously nor save our souls. Without me, you can do nothing, says our Redeemer. But if, distrusting ourselves and avoiding the proximate occasions of sin, we have recourse to God in humble confidence, there is not one among us who may not rise victorious over the most chronic habit of sin and eventually attain to eternal salvation. God's pity and mercy are especially extended to him who struggles against his weakness while trusting in the Lord. As I mentioned before, there are two sinful extremes opposed to Christian hope in God, and the other one is presumption. The intent to continue grievously to sin, expecting that since God is merciful, he will pardon without repentance or grant salvation without good works. This mortal sin of presumption arises from pride, abuses God's patience, mocks his justice, and blasphemes against the Holy Ghost, whose special task it is to withdraw us from sin. And this is a most dangerous sin, because while God is truly merciful and is ready to pardon every penitent sinner and give his grace to the tempted who fear and shun temptation and seek his aid, yet for those who thus deride the dearest of his attributes, his mercy, he reserves his vengeance. Thou, O Lord, humblest those who presume, the hope of the ungodly shall perish. To avoid these two extremes all the more, we have to remember that the virtue of hope is based on the virtue of faith, by which we believe all that God has revealed to us because it is he, the truth itself, who reveals it to us, and the church who proposes it to us to believe. And if we consider certain things that he has revealed to us that will help us to avoid those extremes, such as the saving passion and death of our Lord and Savior, who endured all those afflictions so that we might be freed from sin and that be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven, and that he even says by his prophet that he wills not the death of a sinner, but that such a one shall repent and believe and be reconciled to God. But also we can consider the final judgment, by which all of us will be brought before the throne of God, who sees all, where he cannot, nothing is hidden from him, nor can we deceive him or trick him in any way, and there be given our just deserts. Eternal glory for the just who have followed Christ and cooperated with his graces, and eternal damnation and hell for those who have rejected those graces and given themselves fully and wholeheartedly to sin. And so thinking of the passion of our Lord and also the judgment of God will help us to avoid those extremes. But also in our personal lives, when we struggle against various sinful addictions or vices that we have contracted, we have to remember that doctrine of divine grace and know that with God all things are possible. And so even if we have been given over to our anger or to our lust or to our greed for decades on end, it is not a lost cause for us while we still draw breath. And that we should therefore turn to God, imploring His grace all the more and striving to do our part to cooperate with those graces. And that will help us to avoid falling into despair over our condition or presumption in thinking that, well, God would just forgive me anyway. And so fleeing from these deadly extremes, let us cultivate a firm and lively confidence in God by the constant memory of His goodness and His promises. And let us daily make acts of hope in Him, that this virtue may become more pronounced in our lives, that it may become in us a well-developed power to sustain us in all our difficulties, temptations, and trials, and so enable us to run on cheerfully in the glorious way of our salvation. Amen. In name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.